In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. When my husband and I were on active duty in the Army, I routinely made a weekly grocery shopping trip to the commissary on the weekend. And almost every time, at some point, as I was making my way up and down the aisles, a man would come up and ask me where to find an item. The men who asked were usually carrying a list and looking a little bit lost. And I never could figure out why, out of all the shoppers in the commissary, they would choose to ask me for assistance. Now, because I shopped there every week and the layout of the store never changed, I was familiar with the store and I knew exactly where to find whatever it was that they were looking for. I guess those who were searching sensed that I had this familiarity and that I would be willing to share that with them. In our gospel lesson today, it opens with some Greeks, and meaning foreigners or outsiders, who have gone up to Jerusalem to worship at the festival. This story, which takes place in the context of the Passover, takes place following events like Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, like Mary of Bethany anointing his feet with expensive perfume, and Jesus entering Jerusalem triumphantly riding a donkey. These outsiders had heard about Jesus, and they were there to see him. This demonstrates to us that Jesus is for all people. He was not there just for the Jewish people who were celebrating the Passover. At this point, the Greeks came to Philip, telling him that they wanted to see Jesus. They had heard about him, they wanted to see him, and Philip was a close follower of Jesus, one of those who was most familiar with him. So these outsiders asked him for help finding Jesus, and then Philip went to Andrew. Maybe they were really busy and they didn't really have time to deal with these foreigners as they were preparing for the Passover festival. But then Philip and Andrew went together to Jesus and told him that the Greeks were there to see him. But at that point, instead of telling them that he would see the outsiders or that he was too busy, he answers them the way he usually does. It's hard to find a place in the Gospels where Jesus just gives a straightforward yes or no answer. He responds to them with a statement and with a proverb. At this point, Jesus turns to his disciples and tells them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." This is a transition point in John's gospel. This is a time when we turn from his ministry and his works and signs to his path to the cross. He tells them that the time is near for the completion of his mission on earth. He tells them what it means using an agricultural proverb. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears fruit." We know that a seed must die to its current form to be transformed in order to grow into a plant or a tree and bear fruit. The potential inside the seed is hidden until its glory is revealed. God is revealed to all of us who die to ourselves and open ourselves to God's word, open ourselves to hear God's call to us. We also must die to the ways of the world, empty ourselves of the sins of the world, to open ourselves to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. During this season of Lent, we spend time working to let our connections to things of this world die in order to make room in our hearts. We work to empty ourselves in order to be prepared to be filled with the grace of salvation through the resurrection. We spend extra time in Lent with the scriptures and in prayer to increase our closeness to God, to be familiar with Jesus so that we will be transformed and grow in our faith. Then in serving and following Jesus, we will bear fruit, bringing others to our faith. After Jesus tells the disciples that the hour has come and speaks of a single grain of wheat dying so that it will grow and bear fruit, he turns toward the cross and seems to struggle with God's plan for him. He knows the plan and still struggles with what he knows. Jesus speaks directly to God, saying, "Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And the voice of God answers him, and Jesus heard it clearly because he knows the Father, abides in the Father. And the voice from heaven said, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Not everyone there heard the same thing. Sometimes we don't hear the same thing that others around us hear. But if we listen with our hearts, we hear the truth. We hear the message. When our son was a small child, he, like many children, didn't always hear the exact words that were said. But most times he still understood the message. Well, one time when my parents were visiting and we were preparing to sit down to a meal, our son was sitting at his spot at the table and a hot dish was set on the table right in front of him. And my dad said to him, "Be careful, that dish is extremely hot." As I went to put something else on the table, our son said to me in a very serious tone, "Be careful. Grandpa said that dish is screaming hot." So he didn't hear the words exactly, but he understood the message. He knew that his grandpa was telling him to be careful, to keep him safe, and he wanted to share that information with others. In our gospel lesson, when Jesus heard the words of God clearly, we're told that the people near Jesus heard a noise. Some heard that noise and thought it was thunder. Some thought it might be an angel speaking to Jesus. Maybe some of them just thought he was hearing voices. But Jesus told them, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine." And he continued, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." When Jesus is exalted, when he is lifted up, it will be by way of the cross. And all people who hear his message, who listen with their hearts, will be drawn up with him. We don't always hear the words of God clearly, but that doesn't mean that we can't understand the message and hear the truth. As we spend more time with the words of Jesus, more time in prayer, opening our hearts to his message, we are more prepared to hear the voice of God, the voice that comes for our sake, to drive out the rule of this world and let us be drawn to Jesus. What do you hear when God speaks? How do you hear God's words? Our purpose as Christians is to share our faith, our love of Jesus with others, to bring those who do not yet believe into relationship with Jesus. To do that, we must be in close relationship with him. To live for others, we must first let ourselves be transformed. We need to hear the words of Jesus to let those words soak in, to let our focus on this world die and our life be transformed, to live a life of hearing the word of God, living in such a way that we draw others to hear the words of Jesus, to be so familiar with him that we can help others find him. And like those in the crowd who were with Jesus in Jerusalem, we may not hear the word of God clearly, but when we let the words of Jesus transform our lives, we're able to hear the message of God, and we and all people will be drawn to him. I'd like to close with a prayer for today from the book of prayers for Sunday and seasons. Let us pray. Hear, O God, the eternal echo of the prayers and supplications your Son offered when, to establish the new and everlasting covenant, he became obedient even unto death on the cross. Through all the trials of this life, bring us to a deeper, more intimate share in Christ's redeeming passion, that we may produce the abundant fruit of that seed that falls to the earth and dies, and so be gathered as your harvest for the kingdom of heaven. We ask this through Christ, with whom you have raised us up in baptism, the Lord who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.